Our reading this morning is from Joshua chapter 14. We're reading from verses 6 to 13. It can be found on page 229 in the church Bibles if you would like to follow it. Chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jean, for that prayer. That's so kind. I'll just move this to one side, if I may. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's David Bracewell, and I think I've been before. Some weeks back now, I was required to sort out the sermon themes for these few weeks in August. I knew I wasn't preaching last week, so Tracy had a free go. And I decided that for the final two sessions before Chris comes, I would like to talk to you about Caleb, and then next week about Barnabas. Now, I know why I chose Barnabas, but as I began to look at this earlier, I thought, why ever did I choose Caleb? I have no idea where that came from. And I thought, well, perhaps I should change it. But I didn't, and I began to look at the text about Caleb. And I'm glad that I didn't change it, because he is a great, great guy. And we find his story in two texts. The first one is in Numbers chapter 13, and the second one is the one that was read to us, Joshua 14. Where Judith claimed that she's 85 years old. I didn't know that.
Not quite.
But in Numbers chapter 13, we first meet Caleb. The children of Israel were being taken out of Egypt to go to the Promised Land. And they'd been 2 years into the trek. They'd gone south round the Sinai Peninsula, and they'd come up the other side to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which was quite close to the Promised Land. They'd done about 250, 300 miles by this time. And as they're getting close to the Promised Land, Moses says, right, now is the moment. If we're going to conquer this place, as God has promised, we better send spies out into the land to have a look what it's like. And he was quite specific. He says... Well, I don't know what the verses are now. Oh, my goodness me. What's wrong with me? Verses 17 to 20. Moses sent them to explore Canaan. He said, go through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they were very specific. They got to go and do all these things. And they actually came back loaded with grapes and with pomegranates and with figs. And the land that they spied was indeed wonderful. All the 12 spies who Moses sent out came back and they said, it's a marvellous place. It's absolutely wonderful. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But, verse 28, but the people are strong, the towns are fortified, we don't stand a chance. At which point, Caleb comes into view. Verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So this is Caleb. Caleb saying to the whole company, you load of wimps. Of course we can do it. Come on, let's go. So that's Caleb. Now, everything goes quiet until we come to Judges chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14. And at this point, the land has been conquered, the land has been possessed, and the land is ready to be, is being distributed amongst the various tribes. And as this distribution is going on, suddenly Caleb pops up again. We've not heard of him for 45 years, and suddenly he's still there. And he says to Moses, Moses, do you remember that time back 40 years ago, 45 years ago, when I was 40 years old, and Moses said, let's go and spy the land. Do you remember? And do you remember, Joshua, that we brought back a minority report, which said that we can do it? And do you remember, Moses, that you said to, that Joshua, that Moses said to me, that because I'd been faithful and because I'd got vision, I would be given the land of Hebron when eventually the possession takes place. Do you remember, Joshua? And Caleb is quite remarkable. So now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses that he would lead us. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go to battle now as I was then. Here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm ready to possess the land that was promised. And not only to possess it, but to fight for it. Because even though the land had been conquered, there were pockets of resistance. And in Hebron, there were people who were still trying to drive them out. And Caleb says, look, 45 years ago, I was promised this. Now I'm ready to fight for it. Here I am, still following God wholeheartedly. Isn't this one? He's a great man, isn't he? I'm so glad that we chose Caleb. Blooming 85 years old and going like a steam train. Now, what are the lessons from these two passages of scripture that we put together? Well, first of all, and overarching, the lesson is that we're talking about men of faith, or people of faith, in Joshua and in Caleb. They believed God's promises. It's very interesting, if you look at the opening verses of Joshua, of the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous. He's saying to Moses, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. God's saying to Joshua, I've promised this land and they're going to receive it. And then you turn to the end of the book, chapter 24 and verse 43. No, it's not verse 43. Oh, my goodness me. Why am I getting all my references wrong? 21. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he'd sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he'd sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. The beginning of Joshua, the book of Joshua, it's recorded that God said to Moses, I'm going to give this land to the people. At the end of Joshua, the land is given to them. Not one promise that God made had been denied. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So these two men held on to that. And through all the changing scenes of life over those 45 years, in tempest and drought, in wandering around, they went round in circles around the desert before they got to the promised land. 40 years struggling on. They went into the conquest. There was fights. There were battles. There was bloodshed. There was violence. And eventually possessed. But through all that, the men of faith, the people of faith, held firm. And we don't hear a thing about Joshua for 45 years. But at the end, he's still there. And he's saying, I'm still here. I've trusted God. I believe in the faithfulness of God. So that's the main lesson of the sermon. I could stop now, but I've got another 35 minutes to go, Jim. Okay.
Hooray!
But you could do some colouring in if you wanted. The overarching thing for the sermon this morning is just hold on to the faithfulness of God. Through all the changing scenes of life, he will never leave you nor forsake you. However, let us just briefly look at the small print, if you like, of Caleb's faith. And I want to say, first of all, that it was a very positive faith. I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? We go back to the passage in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb was a can-do man. There are people in life who say, oh, this is too hard. Let's turn back. Let's not bother. There are people who say, we can do it. Now, it's complex as to why there are that division, and we'll come back to that in a moment, maybe. But just hold on to the fact that Caleb was a can-do man. And how could that be? Well, in Joshua chapter 14, verses 5 to 9, no, in Numbers chapter 14, verses 5 to 9, Moses and Aaron fell down, face down, in front of the whole Israelite assembly. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only don't rebel against him, and do not be afraid of the people, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. How can you be a can-do person in a vicious and alien and contrary culture? The answer is twofold. Do not be afraid of those who oppose you, and trust that God is with you. You have his support. The people against God do not have the support of God, but you do. It's not triumphalism, but it's steady confidence that we can do it because we have the protection of God for our cause, because our cause is his cause. So that's the first thing. And it requires wholeheartedness. Three times in the narrative of Joshua 14, we find Caleb being described as one who was wholehearted. Verse 8, verse 9, and verse 14. He was wholehearted for God. And you and me have to live in a culture which, as I say, is contrary. People do not, on the whole, want to believe. People, on the whole, do not follow the Lord God. People, on the whole, do not flood into our churches. It's good to see so many here this morning. And to stand in the face of that, not aggressively, not in a way which offends people, but strongly and clearly, requires wholeheartedness. It requires an attitude of, we can do this. Because God's truth is strong, God's cause is unbreakable, God's purposes cannot be thwarted. We are his people, and we can do it as we trust him. So Caleb's faith was very firmly rooted. It was very positive. But then, secondly, it was persistent faith. He just kept going. So, as I say, 45 years later, he's there. The land is being apportioned out. And Caleb says, oh, I'm 85, I've had enough. I think I'm going to go to a retirement home. Does he say that? No, he does not. There is no retirement home on Caleb's agenda. Golf and gardening, forget it. I'll say something more about that in a moment. Am I shouting, Sue? Is that what you... No. Oh, it's the gardening bit. No. Okay. Midway between where we live in Derby and where our daughter Anna lives, there is a retirement village. And our son Robert and his family came up recently from Guildford, and Anna and he were walking in that area, and they were talking about us. They do. They call us the oldies. They don't know that we know that, but we're sharp. Sharp as a pin, bright as a button. And we're going back, and Anna said, she said, Robert turned to me and said, is that where we're putting them? Is that where we're putting them, for goodness sake? Well, Caleb was not interested in a retirement property. He was keen to keep going. Now, I do need to make two caveats, really. The first one is that there is nothing wrong with being retired. I've been retired 13 years. There is nothing wrong with taking rest. We need to. The second caveat is that age comes into it. I mean, I don't know what pills Caleb was on, but at 85, he was going like a trooper. But sometimes we can't. And sometimes we get tired and weary, and we have to pause. I wrote an email early this week to my friend in America called Ernie. We were at school together, and we meet from time to time. He comes over, and he's gung-ho. He's incredible. He puts me to shame. And I found that I'd written on the email. He said, why, I've not heard from you. You've stopped writing your blogs. What's going on? And I said, I'm sorry, Ernie, I'm fine. Then I found myself writing, my energy levels at the moment are not brilliant. And I don't know what that's about, but I wake up most mornings absolutely fearful of the day ahead. Oh. Awful. And then I wake up and get up and make Sue a full English breakfast. Take it on the train. And I feel much better. Do you wish to say something?
Too much.
Yeah. So, I do understand that it would be insensitive to say, come on, let's all be like Caleb, you can do it. But what is constant is the inner spirit, okay? The inner spirit, the desire, the longing to serve. Even if your knees are painful and you can't walk anymore, and breath is harder, whatever it is, you still are have that desire in your heart, and you pray, and that who knows what those prayers will do, and you say the odd word maybe to someone in the name of Christ. So it's not about, you know, being like Caleb in a physical sense, but it is that inner spirit which says, I just want to keep going, and I want to go on serving God well. And the final thing about Joshua was that his faith was, as well as being positive and persistent, it was progressive, it was prophetic. He was looking forward. So he says to Joshua, give me the land of Hebron, and I know there'll be a struggle. I know there are people there opposing us still. I'm going to go in, and I've got my sword ready, and I'm going to fight them. I'm just going to do it. He's looking forward. He doesn't look back in anger. He doesn't look back in self-pity. He doesn't look back in nostalgia. Are we not guilty sometimes of all those looking backs? He does not look back in smugness. I mean, he could have done. From the moment that the minority report was brought in to say, we can do it now. They're within distance of the promised land. And the assembly rose up. They nearly stoned them, it says in the text. But from that moment, they started going around in circles. And it took another 40 years, another 38 years, to get to where they could have gone tomorrow morning if they'd had the courage. But God gives us what we desire sometimes, which is a terrifying thought. So he could have looked back and said, I told you so, but he didn't. He just said, here we are now, going forward, and I want to keep going. It was Tennyson who said, how dull it is to pause and make an end, to rust unburnished, not to shine in use. I want you all to shine in use, and not to be rusty and unburnished. There's a lovely quote by G.K. Chesterton, though giant rains put out the sun, here stand I for a sign. Though earth be filled with waters dark, my cup is filled with wine. Tell to the trembling priest that here, under the deluge rod, one nameless, broken, tattered man stood up and drank to God. Amen. Now, like lots of G.K. Chesterton, I'm not quite sure what it means, but but you catch the mood.
Yeah.
And Caleb was a man who stood up and drank to God. I'm 85 and I'm going to keep going. Now, in 8 days' time, you'll have a new vicar. And my prayer is that he will come and find a church full of Calebs who are standing up and drinking to God and saying to Chris, we're ready. Lead us and we will possess the land for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.